Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Practical Parsha Podcast. I hope you are well. And this week, it's a double mazel tov. Why is it a double mazel tov? Because number one, this is going to be the first recorded episode for Parshas Ekev for the Practical Parsha Podcast. Just because for the past 2 years, Ekev is always in the summer, and it's a little bit of a busy time, maybe vacation, maybe away, and I think that's what happened the last 2 years. But now I'm here to give you a brand new episode on Parshas Ekev, Baruch Hashem, and it's also a mazel tov because it also happens to be Parshas Ekev is my bar mitzvah parsha. So if it's my bar mitzvah parsha, it means it's my Hebrew birthday. This actually right now as we speak, Thursday night, Friday, is my Hebrew birthday. So mazel tov to me. And if you'd like to reach out to say hello, feedback, questions, comments, or perhaps you'd like to wish me happy birthday, or maybe you want to even send me a birthday present, I'll take that too. You can reach out to me, send me an email at rabbishlomokohn@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev. Just to give a quick overview of the Parsha continues with the talk that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to the Jewish nation before he's about to pass on, and the Jewish people are about to enter the land of Israel. And in Parshas Ekev, it begins with an assurance and telling the Jewish nation about the reward they're going to get when they perform the mitzvot, they do the mitzvot. All the good things that await them. The Parsha continues with Moshe Rabbeinu giving them a lesson about food, that how we have to be careful about the lure of prosperity, that if a person becomes too prosperous, they could, God forbid, forget Hashem. They could forget about God. Moshe Rabbeinu also in this week's Parsha tells the Jewish nation about their tribulations in the wilderness, their trials, their challenges. He goes over some of the challenges that the Jewish people faced in the desert, as well as the ark and the tablets, the second tablets. He recounts about Aaron's death and the elevation of the Levites, as well as Hashem's reconciliation with the Jewish people after they had sinned at different instances in the Midbar, in the desert. The Parsha finishes with Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people how they know firsthand about Hashem's miracles, how they saw it directly, how God performed miracles for them in Mitzrayim, and about the great virtues of the land of Israel, the great beauty of the land of Israel, as well as the second Parsha of Shema, the Vahoya im Shemaya, the second passage of Shema, which we say, is listed in Parshas Ekev. Now, the first idea I wanted to start off with today takes us to the beginning of the Parsha. So this week's Parsha is called Parshas Ekev. That's because the first verse in this week's Parsha says the word Ekev. V'hoya Ekev tishmu'un es ha-mishpotem o'ile u'shmartem v'asisem o'isom. This shall be the reward when you hearken to these ordinances and you observe and perform them. Hashem your God will safeguard for you the covenant and the kindness that he swore to your forefathers. And the psukim continue with Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people how God will love them if he follows the mitzvot and the Torah. Now Rashi, the very first Rashi in the Parsha, he gives commentary on the first few words of the Parsha. V'hoya ekev tishmon. It shall be when you listen. Es ha-mitzvus kalosh adam dash ba'akvav tishmon. That when you listen to even the mitzvos that a person steps on with their heel, that's when you'll have all the blessings that Hashem will safeguard you and protect you, and everything will be good for you. And the lesson that Rashi's bringing out here is that we see from the word akev, the word akev literally means heel. It also can mean that as well. That the lesson here is that when we're careful with the mitzvos that are maybe smaller mitzvos, which are quote-unquote neglected, which we tread on with our heel, we don't think about too much. So when we're even careful with these small mitzvos, Hashem will give us all the blessings that it says in the Parsha and in the Torah. Now, there's a very powerful lesson which I believe we could take out of this week's Parsha. Many times we look at things and, you know, big things are important, little things aren't so important. And really, the truth is, obviously, big things are important, but sometimes, and in really a lot of times, the little things can be even more important than the big things. And it's something we need to think about. We have to remember that when it comes to change is very difficult for us as people. It's as much as we talk about it, to change a trait or to be different, it's a hard thing to do. And the bigger the change, the harder it is to accomplish. But if we want to make long-term growth in ourselves, we want to be a different person, we want to become somebody different than we are now, we want to get to a place that maybe we're not in right now, we have goals, we have aspirations, in all areas of our life, and especially when it comes to our spiritual lives and our Yiddishkeit and our connection to Hashem, the way you get there is with the small things. It's by the little things. And it's by the small steps. And these small steps become miles, and miles become hundreds of miles, and you start accomplishing things. Because even though at first it seems like something very, very small, how am I making a change? How am I becoming different? Is that all these small actions add up and become something significant very fast. You know, the expression, the trip of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And I think when it comes to growth as well, we have to do things small and keep at it. And I believe maybe this could be tied into this idea of Akev, that, you know, it's not just the big things that we have to do, but it's also the little things, to focus on the little things. We shouldn't just wipe them away. And also when it comes to change within ourselves, we should have value for those small actions. We shouldn't sort of degrade them and make them into nothing. We should realize the beauty in them and the significance of them and the power that they can help carry us to the next level. The second idea I wanted to share with you takes us to the psukim where Moshe Rabbeinu is giving assurances to the Jewish nation. He's giving them the confidence and support they need to enter into the land of Israel and conquer the nations of Canaan. And he says as follows, Ki soymar b'lvavacho rabim hagoyim o'ele mimeni, eicha ucha leharisham, loy siro mehem zachar tizkores asher aso Hashem elokecha lefar lecho Mitzrayim. Says, if you will say in your heart, these nations are more numerous than we, how can I conquer them? Do not fear them. Remember what the Almighty your God did to Paro and all of Egypt. He's giving them chizuk. He's giving them strength. Because a person might think to themselves, we're going into the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. There's many more nations. They're much stronger than us. How is it going to be possible for us to conquer them? These are normal human instincts, human reactions. And Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing them directly. And what is he telling them? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. And how is he trying to get them to not be fearful? He's saying, remember what Hashem did to Paro and Mitzrayim. He took care of them. They were more numerous than you. They were more powerful than you. But yet Hashem miraculously caused them to be defeated and led the Jewish nation out of Egypt. And there's a very powerful lesson that we see from how Moshe Rabbeinu addressed the Jewish nation. It gives us a very powerful insight into bitachon, trust. Bitachon literally means security, I guess, in modern Hebrew, but it's really more than that. It's this level of trust. It's this recognition that Hashem has taken care of us. He gave us a specific mission in this world to accomplish. And he's not going to put us on a mission without the tools that we need to accomplish it. So everything is taken care of. There's nothing to worry about. And obviously, it's easier said than done. But if we would internalize this concept of bitachon, that Hashem is taking care of all our needs, and no one can harm us unless it's divinely decreed, and everything, you know, we're in Hashem's hand, and everything is for the best. You know, this is bitachon. And Rabbi Pliskin brings down a specific method for us to help us have bitachon. You know, it's a very lofty concept, but how do we practically get to a place where we could trust in Hashem and we don't have to worry? Because when we live a life with bitachon, with his trust in Hashem, we live a worry-free life. We don't have to, you know, live the stresses, you know, or at least it's much less than it is. It could be. We could live worry-free. We could live on, you know, cloud nine all the time. How do we get there? How do we accomplish the goal of getting on the path of bitachon and having trust in Hashem? And if we look in this week's parsha, we see a very clear insight on how Moshe Rabbeinu guides the Jewish people to have this bitachon. He says, don't fear the other nations. And what does he say? What does the next verse say? He says, because remember what Hashem did to Paro and the Egyptians. Remember what he did in the past for you. Remember how he got you here to this place. And this is a very important point to think about to get to bitachon, to have this trust in Hashem. It's our awareness that Hashem had, how much he's helped you till this point, how much he's already helped you in the past, what challenges and tribulations he has helped you overcome to get you to the place where you're at. So when we remember that, when you remember how you got to this point, that Hashem took care of you, it gives you the chizuk, it gives you the strength to know in yourself that Hashem is going to get you over the next challenge as well. And this is something we can use when we're facing a difficulty, whether it be a financial difficulty, whether it be a challenge at work, whether it be a family issue, whatever it may be, a challenge in our life. We should remember that just like Hashem got us till this point, God willing, he will take us forward and give us everything we need to succeed. And that's a very powerful lesson we see from this week's parsha, how Moshe Rabbeinu reassured the Jewish nation and gave them this ability to have that bitachon by reminding them how they got to this point, right? How they were able to get there, despite all the odds, they're able to get that, and then to be here and to succeed. So if we look back and remember the successes, and remember how we overcame, it'll help us go in the future to get to that level of bitachon, to get to that trust, to overcome the challenges that are facing us in front of us to get to have success, God willing. The next thought I want to share with you takes us to the commandment of this week's parsha of benching. So we all know that after we eat, or before we eat, we make a bracha, and after we eat, we make an after blessing. And the commandment for that is sourced in this week's parsha. V'achalta v'savata uveirachtas Hashem Elokecha ala aretz hatov asher nasan lach. You shall eat and you will be satisfied and bless Hashem your God for the good land that he gave you. And the next verse continues. Hisham Elokecha pentishkach es Hashem Elokecha levilti shomar mitzvaysov mishpatov chukaysov asher anechi mitzavcha hayoyim. Take care lest you forget Hashem your God by not observing his commandments, his ordinances, and his decrees, which I have commanded you today. There's a very beautiful idea which we see from the Chassam Sofer on these verses. What's the connection between the commandment of eating, being satisfied, and blessing Hashem for the land, followed by the next pasuk, which tells us to not forget about the mitzvos, to not forget about the Torah, to not forget about following in the ways of Hashem? What's the connection here? So the first idea that has to be said is that obviously when we eat, we have to remember to bless Hashem, to bench afterwards, to do the Birchas HaMazon, the after blessings. And Obviously, in the after blessing itself, a portion of it is thanking Hashem for the land of Israel, which he gave to us, which has many bountiful blessings that come out from the land. You have all the crops and the fruits, all these delicious things that we're able to enjoy physically. But there's a caveat to that, because if we make the focus of our eating just about the eating, and even if we're blessing Hashem, we're blessing God afterwards, we're making the after blessing, and we're thanking God for the land, we still are putting ourselves at risk. And that's what the verse is telling us, that when it comes to our eating, even if you're making a blessing and you're thanking Hashem for the food that you've been given, we have to take it one step further to remember, why are we eating? Why are we, nourishing ourselves? And the answer to that is because we're doing it so we're able to learn Torah, to do mitzvos, and to serve God. Because if we just make the focus of the eating itself, and sure, even if we're thanking God, this is the novelty of this idea, that even if we're thanking Hashem for the food, but if we don't take it one step further to remember why he gave us that food, and why we're eating that food, and why we're taking it into ourselves, and the reason for that is to serve Hashem, to be stronger, to be physically better, to do the things that we need to do to serve God, to do the mitzvos, to learn Torah. So then we're missing the boat if we don't remember that second step, because that's why we eat. We eat in order to be able to have strength to serve Hashem. And it's not just eating. It's really all the different aspects of our life, comes to earning a livelihood. Why do we earn a livelihood? Is it just to make money? Why do we make money? To pay my mortgage? Why do we have, obviously, why do I have a mortgage? And you take all these questions back, but really the main source of these questions, or you drill down to the bottom of it, it should all be coming back to serving Hashem, right? We're making a livelihood, so we should be able to have money, to have a house, so we should be able to sleep, to eat, to function normally, to be able to serve God, right? We need money to buy food, to send our kids to school, to yeshiva, to do mitzvos, right? To buy kosher food, all of the above. But we have to continue the thought. Now, obviously, the sages set up a system for us where hopefully we're remembering that. When we make a blessing, we're hopefully being conscious of this fact. But it's not something that comes automatic. We have to try to take it to the second step to remember why we're doing what we're doing, to hopefully take the physical and make it into spiritual. That's what our job is in this world. And that's what we're here to do. It's taking the Torah, putting it into action, taking the physical world, uplifting it, making it more spiritual. And when we eat and we do the physical acts we need to do, we earn a parnasa, we earn a livelihood, we have to try to connect the dots to remember why we're doing what we're doing. What's the reason? And this is a very important lesson we see from this week's parsha. One last thought I want to share with you before we finish this week's episode. In this same paragraph where Moshe Rabbeinu is warning the Jewish people against this lure of prosperity, about forgetting Hashem, he talks about a person who might say to themselves, they might forget Hashem. And after being successful, they might say, "V'amarta bilvavecha koichi v'oitzim yadi asali asachai lazeh, v'zacharta as Hashem lokecha, ki hu anusin lecha koich lasus choyel." He says, you may say in your heart, "My strength and the might of my hand made me all this wealth." Then you shall remember your God, that it was He who gave you strength and to make wealth. This is an interesting commandment, and it's really critical to our faith. We have to do our part. And God willing, a person does their part. Hashem gives them that success, hopefully, and they become wealthy, they have success, whatever it may be. It's very easy for us as human beings, as flesh and blood, as mere mortals, to forget where that success came from. It's very easy for us to think that we're the ones who made ourselves successful. You know, there are plenty of smart people in the world, and they weren't successful. And there's plenty of dumb people, and they were extremely successful. You know, there's plenty of people who try very hard, and again, they don't necessarily have that success. Obviously, we have to do our part. We have to daven, right? And we have to put effort in. But we have to remember that it's not up to us, the success. It's not us who gives us that success. And there's a famous story that Rabbi Twersky brings down, a cute little parable. It says that there's a famous story. There's the famous geyser, Old Faithful. And as the tourists are approaching Old Faithful, which erupts every certain amount of time, there's two pranksters that are nearby, and right before the geyser is about to erupt, one screams out to the other, "Hey, Frankie, get ready to pull the lever." And as soon as he pulls this little lever that he has in the side, the geyser erupts. Right? So we might seat ourselves as if we were a tourist, like, wait a second, these guys are the ones who just did it. But in reality, the truth is that they're just playing a prank. And sort of that's like us. When we do things that, you know, seem that we're causing the success, it's not necessarily our actions that are the actions or the pulling the lever that's causing the success. Sure, we have to do our part, but it's not our strength and our brains that gave us the wealth or the success or whatever it is, the great idea. It's the inspiration from Hashem. It's God that's given us that success. And this is not just when it comes to wealth. It comes to all areas of our life and even on the Jewish nation as a whole. You know, we think about the state of Israel and how it's miraculous that it's in existence. But it's, you know, today there is a Jewish army, right? There's the Tzahal, which protects the Jewish nation. And obviously it's our responsibility to have an army. But we have to, not forget for a second that it's not the might of the Israeli army that is protecting the Jewish nation. It is the grace of God that is protecting the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and the people that live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the brains of the generals that are doing it. You know, maybe it seems like that. We have to do our part. You have to get the best people. But it's miracles. It's by the grace of Hashem. And, you know, you think about these situations, like recently when the missiles came flying in from Iran, right, the statistical chance of every missile being shot down, maybe sure that they have good technology, but it doesn't make any sense. And we can't forget for a moment that it's not our might that has saved us and kept us, you know, whole and protected us. It is the might of Hashem that has kept us whole and has kept us one. And God willing, we shouldn't forget that. And to keep it with us, to have that focus, because it's very easy to forget. When we have success, and it's very easy for us to disconnect the two. We take it for ourselves, and we forget about Hashem. And this week's parsha, we remember where our success and our protection truly comes from. So that's going to finish for today's podcast. Hope you all enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or like to reach out, please feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomokohen@gmail.com. Have a great day.